You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Break two. Good Thursday morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber with Jim Cramer. Carl Quintanilla has the morning off. Let's give you a look at futures, of course, as we get ready for trading 30 minutes from now. We've had a very strong couple of days, at least if you're long this market. If you owned Chinese stocks yesterday, you had quite a day. But we'll see what we get today. As you can see, a lower open at least looks likely a half hour from now. Our roadmap does start with that potential pause in the rally. As you just saw, futures are pointing to a muted open. This after the Fed raised rates for the first time in more than 3 years. Oil prices also jumping this morning as well. The IEA warning of a shortfall in supply. And Buffett, he's getting back to buying. Berkshire Hathaway once again boosting its stake in Occidental. That was earlier this week as well. Yeah, he's enjoying that. Maybe he's using the $800 million a year he's making from that dividend. Remember that?
Well, it was a sweetheart deal, but for him it was just a shrewd investment.
It was a very shrewd investment during a different time for Occidental. All right, let's Jim, start with the markets one day after the Fed rate hike. During Jerome Powell's news conference, the Fed chair was asked about the risks of policymakers moving too fast and potentially tipping the economy into a recession. Here was the Fed chair's response.
In my view, the probability of a recession within the next year is not particularly elevated. And why do I say that? Aggregate demand is currently strong, and most forecasters expect it to remain so. If you look at the labor market, also very strong, conditions are tight, and payroll job growth is continuing at very high levels. Household and business balance sheets are strong. And so all signs are that this is a strong economy indeed.
You agree with them?
Yes. I think the problem with the journalists, we ask journalists, not business people, is that they want some sort of Three Bears thing. You know, it's too hot, it's too cold. They want him to be able, if he had said, look, I think it's really important that we give the economy some room because I'm worried about X, the Ukraine. And he said, well, then they would have criticized him for being a softy. He comes in too hard, they're gonna say it's a recession. He basically says, look, I'm gonna lay it out for you. We're gonna raise rates until this economy slows down. Maybe it takes seven, maybe not. They really picked on the seven number. And what really bothers me is the man can do no right in the eyes of the journalists. And we have that incredible box of people that I think is unbecoming of a Fed chief. I don't think that's what he should have to be. I don't think he should have to be hectored for view. I think he should state his view. I've been after Jay to stop that. He doesn't care, but it's a mistake. It's a mistake because he's a heavyweight guy who's reduced to having to be to pander to reporters about what they
so
want to
hear.
You don't
think he should be doing the press conference at all?
Not at all. It's stupid.
You think it's really?
Yeah, it's beneath him.
It's beneath him?
Yes, it is beneath him.
He doesn't have, in some way, an obligation to try and communicate and help us understand exactly what he's thinking?
No, because it unfortunately leads not to clarity but confusion, because he has to do rope-a-dope every time. And I don't like that.
You want to take us back to the days when we used to look at Greenspan's briefcase?
And if no, it was, I want to go
more
four.
More
I want
full,
to go
we
four.
Were like, oh, maybe there's...
No, I want to go four, and I want, like Reed Hastings used to do, see that? He's raising for outsiders there. And just say, okay, look, let's pick the best 10 questions and have a factotum who looks at the questions and then reads it to him. And I think that that's a good conference call. This is, I regard this as an unruly conference call where anybody can ask a question. Anybody. It was kind of like the Elon Musk conference calls initially, where he said, okay, let's ask that car guy. What do you got for me? Well, how fast can it go? Oh, 0 to 80. No, I mean, we got to get away from that. Said Jay, who watches the show very closely, just listen. You need four times, and you pick your best 10. And then what we have is a semblance of...
clarity?
More yeah,
clarity.
As opposed to chaos. It was chaotic. And plus, by the way, these people are at home. It's like, no. No. Like at home, I'm looking at the den the plants. I mean, it's like distract. And some of them are like, Jay's got it. It's beneath
we're
Jay.
We're all tired of looking at people.
It's beneath
plants
Jay. Pick your best 10. Hey, you know what? Get get another one. Get a Fred Governor in there.
Back to the economy there, Mr. Giving advice on sorts of things.
Yeah.
You know, there was an interesting story in the Journal about Walmart's plan to hire 50,000 workers by the end of April.
Yeah.
By the end of April, not to mention, of course, as we know from Amazon's last quarter, they were, looking at aiming 150,000 employees last quarter. I mean, the hiring that Amazon has done over the last 2 years is truly nothing like it. But I wanted to come back to a key point, which is wages. Maybe we don't talk about it enough. Average wage at Walmart is now $16.40.
Oh, wow.
Do you remember?
Wait, are you going to tell me that's low?
Huh? I'm not going to tell you that's low. 16. I'm going to tell you it's up dramatically from what it used to be.
Because maybe they're what are the CEOs make in this country?
All right. Oh, look at you. What are you? Now I'm with Elizabeth Warren?
Trotsky believed that the workers formed the means of production.
I never figured it out.
When I was a member of the Socialist Workers League in college, I had a little insight that maybe the workers don't make enough. Now they're finally getting their due, and we're
upset. 24, Amazon's 18 average. My point is they've moved up a lot, Jim.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad.
And now if we can keep prices steady and wages go up, purchasing power
is
no, look, can I just say,
how long did we sit here? How long did many politicians, of course, on the left say this is egregious, this is ridiculous? Bernie Sanders still perhaps says the same, but they have moved up.
What's the number one performing retail?
I can remember when we were arguing with Walmart, $10 an hour.
Okay, what's the number one performing retail on an 85, 10, 15, 20-year basis? What? What's the number one?
Amazon.
Costco.
Uh-huh.
What's the number one?
Really?
What? Yes.
Well, pure retail.
What is the number one best of
Costco.
Anyone?
Costco.
Who gives full dental?
Costco.
Who gives eye and ear?
Costco.
Right. So who's the most profitable?
Costco.
So let me just tell you that maybe you need to manage better. Jim Sinegal once told me the secret to why Costco is the most lucrative retailer in the world is because they pay their money, pay their people.
And they don't
most.
Have the turnover.
So therefore, they have no turnover. So then, remember what dead weight is. I used to do this at Goldman. Training. You train a person. So anyway, look, I totally agree with you about the wages going up. But I'm just saying, look at the chart.
No, I'm just pointing out that
that's the guy
it has
who pays
happened.
The most.
And the fact is that inflation obviously is having an impact on.
You're
on the
right.
other
look,
side
I,
of
am
this.
Am I giving
so
you a hard time? I've known you long enough that we can joust. I think it's amazing that Doug McMillon is raising rates. The 50,000 took my surprise.
Yes.
Remember, they're trying to do all this stuff fintech.
By the way, it's not even all. These are, you know, some of these are higher end jobs as well. These are not exactly. These are sort of
digital
and different things.
The man or woman will place the food into your refrigerator versus having it spoil outside from Amazon. By the way, Bob Kraft, whom I like very much, tell me again, the amount of. That's because his name is Kraft. Doesn't mean Kraft paper. They didn't start that. My father used to sell Kraft paper. It was not for him. But the number of boxes that are being used, Amazon and Walmart.
Yeah.
Walmart is making a major move with Walmart Plus, David. And they need more people.
There are a lot of boxes. They're everywhere.
What's your favorite aisle in Walmart?
Cardboard getting
What's your favorite
piled
aisle
up.
In Walmart?
My favorite aisle?
What's your favorite aisle?
I don't know. I don't know. I like the TVs, I guess, still.
I don't know. That's Costco.
They got them in the back.
Costco is, Target is the Vizio.
Sports?
The Vizio. I don't like the Vizio. Hobbies.
Look at that chart.
Well, look, one pays people not nearly enough. The other one pays people the most.
By the way, we've been talking about that for 10 years.
And look at that.
More.
That's called paying people the most.
It's not as though the other guy's got religion overnight. It's a long time.
I gave a speech at Bucknell about, my wife's on the board, about Costco and what Sinegal did. Versus these other guys, and I talked about Lord John Russell.
Yeah.
And 1847, the reason I'm bringing this up, David, is because the potato famine, when the British starved Ireland and yet had the beef that Ireland had sent to Britain, but Queen Victoria cut a check for a couple million pounds. There's my St. Patrick's soliloquy.
Right. I'm glad we've covered all of that, including cardboard boxes.
And St. Patrick's.
You've given Powell advice on his future press conferences. Now, can we talk about the stock market for a moment?
I was hoping you'd get to it.
Thank
it's 9:09.
Yes, it is. I noticed that as well. NASDAQ's had quite a nice little move there.
But
is
still
this
not
sustainable?
Up.
Obviously, China stocks have been all over the place, but that move yesterday was nothing short of incredible.
No. Oh, by the way, I was at dinner last night.
Yes, you were.
You know how many people told me, you know what, I bought China stocks 2 days before this happened?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Alibaba got down to something like 4x EBITDA.
I know.
Of course, everybody was telling me the same thing. It was 4x EBITDA. Of course, EBITDA.
Yeah, hey, yeah, so like,
well, the economy. That JP Morgan call of a few days ago, the uninvestable call, that worked out real well. Yeah, that was a good one.
Listen, they were making it because it's a communist country. Let's go back to the actual specifics here. Where the values are, I think, are in non-big retail. Matthew Boss, Ralph Lauren, $1.4 billion in net cash, EBITDA incredibly low. And by the way, you didn't mention this, but they are the first ones to really, they're going to put their stores in the Mark Zuckerberg metaverse. We don't talk enough about the metaverse.
We don't? I thought we did.
No, we don't.
They're going to put their stores in the metaverse.
Yeah. Well, you'll be able to try on the outfits. I'm going to go back to Purple Label. I went to Brioni.
There we go. Yep, pointing to the moon.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It's Nigerian on the show.
And then, I know.
Which
then,
one? I don't know.
And then I wear my Ralph Lauren outfits in the metaverse.
Yeah.
I can't wear them in the real world.
All right, let's go to American Express. All right, now this is Steve Squeri. I wish we had the tape because I visited him yesterday. He's talking about raising the, I love it. We used to call it the numbers. Now it's raising the algorithm. People love to say algorithm because it sounds really smart.
It does.
But he's talking about just the consumer. The consumer being strong. You know, Dollar
this is
General,
Steve Squeri. I just
consumer
want to
strong.
Steve Squeri from American Express, guest last night on Mad Money, saying the consumer is strong. Dollar General yes. numbers this morning. Current quarter not great, but guidance
the
not
guidance
bad.
Great. Signet, Gina Drosos on Mad Money tonight. Unbelievable numbers, and will no longer use Russian diamonds. Russia is the biggest producer of diamonds. Fantastic. Well, I guess South African Russia. Williams-Sonoma, Laura Albert. The numbers were spectacular. A lot of bears in that stock. You can see that stock up very, very big, WSM. And then I thought the call of the day, and this is a charitable trust team, Eli Lilly. Hopkins conference call today at 12 is going to indicate that this is the first real drug for weight loss, particularly for people with diabetes. But there is no real drug for weight loss right now. Lilly could have it. I think it could be the biggest drug of all time. There you go.
All right.
Lenar, by the way, numbers were great.
Just going through all your names here. We got time. Keep it to an area.
Lilly
consumer.
Being
I like
well,
the sort of
stupid.
Idea about the consumer.
Well,
now I got to take a break.
Why?
We've got to get to industrial production.
Do you know it was down 27% in the first quarter of the Great Depression? And then it went to 27%. Think about that.
Sounds like Chinese stocks. All right, coming up, Cramer's Mad Dash as well. We're going to count down to the opening bell. As I said, we'll get industrial production on either side
of this break. Netflix extra fee.
Let's give you a look at futures as well as Jim keeps
going through
his list.
And then this, where in the world is Kevin Johnson?
Where is KJ? We'll get back to that as well. More Squawk on the Street. Straight ahead.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Welcome back to Squawk on the Street. Rick Santelli here live from CME HQ, awaiting the final breaking news of this session in the form of February read on industrial production and capacity utilization. Hitting the wires right now, up 0.5% for industrial production, exactly as expected. Sequentially following up 1.4, which may get revised, but at least up to this point, that was still the best number since March of last year. Now, the really important number is utilization. Expecting a number around 77.9, it's a miss. 77.6. 77.9 would have taken us to the best levels since 2018. These continue to reverse a bit down from the best levels in about 2.5 years, but it's still a very solid number. And of course, it reflects some of the issues that we have with regard to supply chains and manufacturing holding back. but also look for things like mining and energy, of course, to be pushing those utilization rates higher into the future. Squawk on the Street will return in 2 minutes.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.
All right, time now for a mad dash as we get ready for an opening bell. About 11 minutes or so from now. Happy St. Patrick's Day,
yeah,
by
same,
the way.
Same.
Yeah, mine's kind of green, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Air environment.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about air environment because, you know, I've had the company on the show several times. The company has the drones that are the most efficient for the Army. And the United States is apparently going to provide 100 tactical unmanned aerial systems. Well, let me just tell you, I had the privilege when I saw with Mr. Nawabi, the CEO.
Yes.
They have the Switchblade, and the Switchblade 300, Switchblade 600. I don't see these weapons being sent. These are the really effective ones. These are not the ones, and I think we have some video. We have the one of a little, they also do have an agricultural one. But you have to understand, David, that we're sending them the wrong missiles. We're not even arming them as well as Yemen is armed.
Really? Is that really true, Jim?
Look, they're Javelins using backpack. They're using backpack. These are effective against artillery. The backpacks are effective against people. Now, this is an ag one, so it's not the faster ones. So the Switchblade 600 is what we should be supplying. And, David, the Russians are amassing a fleet of warships off of Odessa. We have nothing that we're sending to defend against that new threat to Ukraine. It's almost as if the government doesn't even know it's happening. Massing of Navy, Odessa, and you don't even hear about it. I'm going back to this concept that there should be hundreds of these drones supplied. These are ones that you can, that are unmanned, that you are not from a backpack. The backpack ones do not have the power you need, and they're not close enough to the artillery. The ones that I'm suggesting are the ones that will destroy the artillery. Why are we sending the wrong ones? Why is Yemen outfitted better than Ukraine? I have no answers for these, but neither does our government. Why isn't our government more worried about the naval force being amassed off of Odessa? Perhaps because they're unaware? I don't know.
I don't believe that would be the case.
Okay, then why aren't we?
We're unaware.
Why aren't we providing them with enough weaponry? Why are we not telling AeroVironment we need thousands of these? Now, I know Javelin is very effective against tanks, but it's artillery that the Russians have historically used in Chess. When they put down the Chestnuts, in the Chestnut War,
yes,
it was all artillery, David. When they destroyed Syria, it was almost Aleppo, eastern Aleppo, it was almost all artillery. They're using artillery. Why? Because they call it hail, by the way, because it worked in World War II. You don't lose a lot of soldiers. These guys have it, so you can't get away with that.
Okay.
I just think that we should, you know, the president should sit down with them and say, how many can you make, sir? How many? There. Do they watch the show?
No. They're busy.
They're jammed.
But we're glad you're watching. We've got an opening bell about 9 minutes away. Don't go anywhere. And by the way, if you do miss us, you can always catch us anytime, anywhere by listening to and following the Squawk on the Street opening bell podcast. We're back right after this.
I think that the NASDAQ is not the place to be. For the short term, yes, because it's oversold. But if you're truly an investor, I'm not talking about between now and May here. I'm talking about looking forward to 2023 and beyond. I think you want to want to avoid these greatly overvalued momentum stocks. And I also think that the investors should potentially think about investing in emerging market equity gradualistically. It's volatile as all get out, but I think ultimately it's going to be a strong performer for a multi-year horizon, and it's cheap.
Gradualistically, I don't think that's a word, but I always like listening to him.
He's very cerebral, has some great thoughts. By the way, overall, he was not negative on stocks. I don't want those quotes to give an impression that he felt like he did a few years ago about stocks. And by the way, I think he agrees with us, David. Companies that don't make anything, that aren't selling anything, that don't have operating cash flow have to be avoided. Or companies that have gigantic losses, like Warby Parker this morning. He would not be a buyer of that. But I think if he sat down with us, he'd say, I look at Google, at Alphabet, and I look at what it is you back out the cash. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I think it's important to distinguish. There were 600 companies that came public that I think he would avoid, that I would avoid.
Yes. I'm going to actually talk a bit about SPACs in a little bit as well, because that's part of under that banner. But to his point about emerging market equities, well, and by the way, Gunlock is the bond king. So I always find it. Now, he's been talking about stocks for years. So
right, but I mean, that's
what I'm accustomed to it. But
you know, I think the problem with that is that emerging markets is no longer, as we know. I mean, I know that the MSCI is a great index, okay? And the problem is that there are countries in there that are dictatorships that can't really be bought.
Yep.
The uninvestable line that we use there. But Henry Fernandez, who's the very thoughtful man who runs the MSCI, he is reluctantly, I think to some degree, have to put countries in that are not capitalist countries.
Right.
Whereas I think that, I mean, for some doing work on Uruguay. You know, there was a Uruguayan security that came public, bank. Uruguay is a very stable, good country. And the bank is being treated as if it's Glenn Fett, as if it's Golden West, Cal Fett. I'm not kidding. Those are for people who don't know. They were
savings and loans.
Well, Golden West, I don't want to get mad. Remember
the Sandlers got very sensitive about that.
I'd rather invest in Uruguay than I would in Deutsche Bank.
Yeah. Let's talk China, because I want to put up that K-Web. I mean, just 1 week of that thing is incredible. The Crane Share CSI China Internet ETF.
Yeah.
Which kind of encompasses a lot of the names that we saw this incredible volatility. Do you just stay away from this stuff and not to trade it, or did you see opportunity? I mean, did get down to four or five times EBITDA.
If you're Xi and you realize the stock's down and hit levels that are, you know, at a death cross or way below, or it's a head and shoulders. I'm not kidding that the Chinese are very schooled in technical analysis. I wish I could joke about that, but they have often come in when the charts are broken. I'm not kidding.
It's like,
I know.
I see a head and shoulders.
I know.
Chairman Xi, it's time.
I've met with the heads of major Chinese banks.
I don't even know. What are the names? Head and shoulders and the other?
It's a diamond reversal. Listen to me. They're looking for W patterns. They're looking for cup and handle. When I met with some Chinese government, Chinese banks officials, which, by the way,
all they wanted to do is talk to you about the charts.
Well, they wanted to know how weak were the charts. And I said, well, look, are you getting stopped out here?
Right.
I mean, I almost gave him David Fibonacci numbers.
He did. All right. In the last minute before we get to the opening bell, Jim, let's talk oil, because it was below 100 yesterday. But WTI, let's take a look at it right now, actually, and ICE, Brent crude as well, because WTI was above. There it is. Yeah, 101.
It goes any higher, I bet Congress is going to haul all these executives in.
Short-term, no supply issues, but longer term, as in even 3 months to 6 months, there are concerns.
Well, we're the largest
oil producer. I've had a couple of conversations.
World.
I'm sure you have as well. Sotto voce.
Well, there's too many.
There is some concern.
There are too many of our public companies that have decided to return capital. Coterra,
yeah,
a huge producer, Tom Jordan, brilliant guy. 9% yield. How do you get a 9% yield? By not doing more drilling. The only companies that are really drilling are the private equity companies, because they're so desperate to come public. Good luck.
Yeah. All right, we're going to be far here. Let's open the bell. And we can give you a look back at the real-time exchange back at our headquarters as well. We'll see how we end up today. Of course, coming off a very strong day, a couple of days for the equity markets. Here at the big board, Allego, that's an EV charging network in Europe. It's celebrating its listing via SPAC at the NASDAQ Amrit Pharma. That's based in Dublin. Good day to have them, of course.
Shouldn't focus
on treatment for rare diseases. Yes, well, they're both green. Amrit's green. You mean the exchange,
the real-time exchange
should be green?
Yeah. Well, look, a lot of people lost a lot of money in Ireland many years ago and then kind of made a comeback, but it was a tough place. It was an emerging market. I remember when I was an Intel-aholic, I went to see the Intel plant open in Dublin.
Yes, right.
And they took us to the Abbey Tavern before, and we watched river dancing. And I want to tell you something you don't know.
Tell me.
My wife is a great river dancer.
She is?
Yeah. Well, she has, you know, she has an Irish passport. She's Irish.
She's just
incredible. And so it's incredible that you can eat the Baconator. Thank you, John
Oliver.
She's got to create
an appetite for the Baconator, and you do that by Irish dancing.
One day she'll do some river dancing for you. It's going to blow you away.
Really?
Yeah.
You're right. I didn't know that.
She learned tap and river dance, and now the averages are down, so we got to focus on that. But I do think it's important. She's never watched the show, so I can say what I want.
Yes, you can. And you do. All the time.
What the heck? Why not? You call that tie green?
It's not. I had a green tie picked out. I forgot. And
next show gets you going.
Caught my eye.
All right, David, we got to talk about what I regard as being this incredible rally in the semis that then dies.
Okay.
You have a two-day rally in the semis, and then they give up what they've made.
Yes.
This has been a pattern. The semis are leadership. So what we need to see, if you're a bull, is that pattern broken. But look at those. Those stocks are broken. Look at Intel at 45. Pat Gelsinger hasn't been speaking in the last 31 minutes. But I do think that what you're looking at is he's trying to build a lot of plants. We need plants here, and we need them now. The chip shortage never ends.
He's also building a lot of plants in Europe, too, potentially.
Yeah, he's
right?
building them everywhere.
Capital. Where are they getting all this money?
Look, it's a cash machine, Intel. They make a lot of money. They make a lot of money. It's just been poorly allocated until Pat got in. Pat is trying to allocate money correctly. The previous gentleman was a really nice guy.
You got that moniker, huh? Really nice guy.
Incredibly nice. Is Kevin Johnson going to be just incredibly nice?
KJ, I don't know. You want to follow through on that story from yesterday?
I think we did enough executives yesterday. Okay, here's what the word that I heard over and over again.
Leadership is
baffled.
Starbucks. Say again?
Baffled.
Baffled.
They're baffled. It's a good word for that.
I think we made the point yesterday that there was something we don't know there.
It
just doesn't make sense.
I love KJ. I've done
with the signaling.
Lenard, David.
They missed the sign, as we say.
Let's focus on Lenard for a second.
Signaling. Yeah, let's
Lenard was up two last night. The chart's horrible there. President Xi, don't go with Lenard. But the amount of money they're making, the gross margin's up 190 basis points. This was amazing. The average price for homes, $398,000, went to $457,000. You think that Jay Powell doesn't have to do something? That's right in Powell's wheelhouse. That has to stop. We're pricing out Americans. Now, you can say that's because environmentally it's hard to build homes. Or you can just say, this is what's worrying me about the U.S. economy. The ability to price increase, have just virtual price increases every single month. That cycle of pain has to be broken.
How will it be broken?
Higher rates.
Think we're really going to get six more the way that we were told yesterday?
If Jay thinks we have to. See, that's one of the things that I hate about the Hollywood Square game he plays with the 10 boxes. How many times does he have to say, look, if things are too hot, we have to tighten?
Then we'll back off.
But
oh,
no,
sorry.
He says no, it
we'll
over and over again.
If they aren't,
doesn't
we'll
he have
off.
A better use of his time? Honestly. I mean, even filling out your bracket is better than answering those questions. Gonzaga?
Really?
Gonzaga, yeah.
What about the impact of rising commodity prices worldwide as a result of the hostilities in Ukraine?
Can I tell you,
and what that's going to mean as this year goes along, in particular, there's still people talking about recession, certainly in Europe in 2023.
Well, look, you heard him say, I mean, the economy.
You've seen the yield curve.
The economy is incredibly strong. Look, Endeavor's able to have $1.84, my agent. They have $1.84 increase right now in the stock. Because of UFC, because of the talent, money. I mean, people are being paid a lot of money in this country. And I think that Jay uniquely is saying, okay, I want it to be distributed correctly.
but I also don't want a spiral of rating of salaries where everyone expects more. Or if you're at a company, David, and everyone's raising their you got your raw costs up 30%, well, then you have to call your customer and say, listen, we're taking yours up 30%. You know what the only food company that has pricing power?
Tell me.
Hershey.
Why does it have pricing power?
Unique product. Loved.
Addictive.
Narrow. Addictive.
Yeah.
Addictive.
But not in
a bad
way.
I wish Mars would come public because, holy cow, the number of different kinds of M&Ms, shocking.
Wow. I didn't realize Hershey's had such a good
Well, that's why I mentioned it, see, because I was doing work.
Yeah, I know where you're
Why don't we put up, I mean, I happen to like ConAgra. Do we have CAG, C-A-G, over Hershey? And I like ConAgra. I'm just saying that there's some companies that have tremendous pricing power.
And others that don't.
That don't have pricing power. They see ConAgra hasn't done
well, that's
as much.
One
and I like
let's
the ConAgra guys.
The,
very nice
that's
guy.
Not,
I like
yeah, that's,
good
that's
guys.
Not.
But you, when you look at management, this Michelle Buck, who, by the way, has lived in the Hershey area for like 17 years, which is a very quiet, placid area, has done a remarkable job. And people never talk about her.
No, they don't.
No.
But like we are now.
Like the late President Nixon said, my mother was a saint, but they'll never write a book about her.
That's true.
Nixon's rarely quoted.
He is by you. Moderna CEO Stefan Bancel sold $408 million of stock since the beginning of the pandemic. So we take a look at shares of Moderna. That's a CNBC.com story, by the way.
But remember, he did have a plan.
He did.
He had a plan.
He did.
Because I said it to him. You know, when that stock was at 18, he approached me at the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference and told me that he could do this. And I was, to say the least, to quote former employee Wilford Frost, skeptical. But then he delivers, and then I criticized him when he sold stock and found out that he has a plan. So. He's using his plan.
He is using his plan. Not sure. By the way, are you keeping an eye on the COVID numbers? You have any concern in terms of what's
spreading
in
South
the
Korea.
UK? South Korea, obviously Hong Kong, China, we've talked a good deal about. But, you know, it is often that what we see in Europe starts here. I mean, the idea of another variant, we're not going to, I don't know that anybody's going to change their behavior at this point.
Yeah, how about the fourth vaccine?
And the fourth, right, and the fourth shot. Which we did see, Moderna, obviously, shares were up sharply earlier.
I don't know,
in the week.
I hugged so many people last night. I'm a petri dish.
Well, you've had three shots and the virus. You're in
not good enough.
Shape.
Sounds like it's not enough.
Really?
I'm going to go back to what I was talking about with the semis. Advanced Micro, you know, up three, down four, up three. I mean, this is what's really crushing people, is that we don't know what to do with tech.
Yeah.
But how about the Union Pacific don't like CSX-like stuff? Remember those days when you see it into that? I like General Mills, but I don't like Kellogg. I mean, they're doing that now with the rails.
I'll tell you one area that a lot of investors don't like is SPACs. And I do want to do a quick favor report here on sort of an update on the SPAC world.
Brent Saunders, Gary Cohn.
Which we used to talk about so often for obvious reasons and obviously pointed out many of the inconsistencies and things that investors should be aware of when this sector, so to speak, was very hot. That's not the case anymore. Now we've gotten to the point, interestingly, where even IPOs with SPACs are being canceled. Two Mola SPACs, for example, pulled their plan to go public. Now, by the way, plenty of companies are pulling plans to go public in this market environment, given the volatility. You've seen it. We're not seeing the IPOs here that we typically have.
No.
And you got to go back to capital markets and what that's going to mean for some of the banks as well, if you want to do that, because it has been a very quiet few months. Bob Pisani has great numbers on
really
that typically
quiet.
As well. And SPACs have been a part of that.
Too
but
quiet.
Some of the numbers are amazing. You know, you have 83% of 2022 IPOs were SPACs still this year. You can see it right there. 216 still to come. Look at that number of SPACs seeking a deal, Jim. 612 SPACs are out there looking for a deal. Of course,
J-PAL does not want them to
so
find
So many of them are not expected to be able to actually be able to find a transaction you'd expect, given how many are looking. And that gets me to the next point, which I think is an important one. We're starting to see the calendar catch up with some of the SPACs. Remember,
yes.
They have 2 years.
Yes.
And if they don't
God,
do a deal
good.
By 2 years, they either can get an extension from their existing shareholders or they return the capital. In March, there's only four SPAC expirations. April, four, but then things pick up.
Then it really starts rolling, right?
And then when we get into next year, it's really going to become a torrent of expirations. And maybe we get towards the end of this. You do wonder, Jim, whether there might be some opportunities out there for things that have just been beaten down, as so many of these things
have. But SPACs buying other SPACs? What are you talking about?
No, I'm just talking about an opportunity for some investors to find perhaps some opportunities within what is generally a sector that
doesn't include them. I did a run of SPACs that are $3 and $4.
Yeah.
And I thought that some of them were worth like minus two. I'm not kidding. They're burning cash so quickly. David, there are companies out there that should not be companies, and companies that started too early.
We made that point time and again as I would look at the projections part, because remember, unlike a typical IPO, they were able to offer projections, and so often these projections were completely based on absolutely nothing.
Well, these are six,
that famous
these are
2026
ranked, these are 16
or 27
ranked
EBITDA
teams.
Numbers.
They're number 16, and they have to play number one. I mean, I got a good one.
That's carnage there, as you can see, and that's the post-SPAC. That's after you've announced your deal. And what happens to you? Nothing good. But anyway, did want to update people on that because
we are starting to see
the funnel of SPACs coming public dramatically narrow.
What do you think? Were you listening to Gary Cohn the other day? SPAC has a lot of cash flow. He's doing Scientific Games, doing national lotteries. You know, that's interesting. He buys lotteries and does it. I guess I don't know how much time he's spending at IBM now.
I don't know either. Did you get a chance to find out?
I should have asked.
Yeah.
My bad. Look at that. There's a chart for you.
Okay.
Okay, so you're Jay Powell. This is what you were trying to end, this easy money nonsense.
Have you done it?
What, wheels up? Have I done wheels up? What are you talking about?
Have you done it in general? Have you ended the nonsense? I mean, we all know how these high multiple stocks have come down dramatically.
But look
already.
At this. I'm telling you, Warby Parker is Exhibit A in the prosecution here. How about 23 and you and me?
That hasn't gone particularly well.
How about my favorite?
None of them have. Sarah Friar. Yeah, I knew you were going there.
All right, don't pick on me.
Yeah, not Sarah picking on you.
Sarah Friar's been very rough. Wheels up, dude.
Yeah, wheels up's been down.
Wheels down.
It had one moment. It had about 20 good minutes.
There was a 30-day period.
I think
where
he was
the capital
here.
Markets,
there were 20 good minutes.
There
was
a 30-day period where the capital markets were exactly what Karl Marx said would happen.
What did he say, Jim?
Well, you know, capitalism would destroy itself.
Uh-huh.
There it was.
Yeah, you can go back. That 20 minutes is not encapsulated
in
that chart.
Not Groucho,
there.
Karl. Both heavyweights.
Correct. Both heavyweights.
Both heavyweights.
Yes, without a doubt.
Did you like Engels?
I didn't read a lot of Engels.
You read Marty Engels. I read the real Engels.
I know you did.
Engels was a better writer than Marx.
Was he?
Yeah. Lenin was a terrible writer. Stalin couldn't write at all. He was ghostwritten.
That I believe as well. All right. We're going to get to what we're going to do, guys. We're going to get to Bob Pisani. What do you want to do here? Is he ready to? Oh, Occidental. They want me to talk Occidental because it's up 8% on the Buffett buys.
All right, sure. Let's go. I'm ready.
You've not liked this stock.
Well, look, they pay too much. I am a Mike Worth guy. Mike Worth being the CEO of Chevron, who I hope is not, like, holding for the Congress or something.
They have paid too much. I made this point the
but
other day.
But oil then went up a lot.
Right.
So they were levered to oil more than anyone, and then so here's what happened.
I got to use from memory here, but I think his – remember the $10 billion that he's getting paid 8% on was also came with warrants that I think are – $62.50? I got to check.
Warren Buffett.
He's very close to actually being in the money on warrants that we thought would never be in the money, Jim.
Look, he bought, and it was the most levered oil. And it worked. You know, Exxon, by the way, not nearly as levered oil, so therefore doesn't go up as much. Was it a good buy? I think you could say he made it a good buy, but it was well-timed in terms of the price of oil, and I salute him.
Well, he's building up there, and obviously Icon has been a seller, and you can see what's happening with Occidental. Vicki Hollub has the last laugh. She managed through it.
You
may have overpaid for Anadarko, but now you're looking okay. Got a lot of good assets there.
True.
All true, right?
True. She
finally,
was right.
Jim, I did want to get to Amazon and MGM because they have closed that deal, and they're doing it at their own risk. The FTC,
what do you mean?
You know, they got their second request. They fulfilled it, and they closed. They got EU approval, did Amazon to buy MGM, and now they own it. But the FTC could come after them and may choose to do so. It seemed unlikely in some ways in terms of at least what law they would be relying on, but it goes to the larger issues that we are seeing in the M&A market, which is doesn't really matter what the law may say. The FTC may still come after you or even the DOJ because they are much more aggressive than they have been in some time.
Right.
And it's very hard to fully understand the implications for any deal on an antitrust perspective at this point. The experts can tell you anything. And I hear this all the time from bankers and lawyers, but they don't really know because it's uncharted territory what Lina Khan will choose to do, even if the staff perhaps says, no, don't do that.
Well, how integral to MGM is, to Amazon is MGM?
Not that integral.
No. So why did they press their bet here?
Well, we know what they did. But they did the deal.
They did
spent
what they
the
did before.
By the way, I mean, if I remember from reporting out, the cover bid was so far below it. They paid like $9 billion. The cover bid was like $5 or $6.
Make it so Amazon the video is better?
Yes.
It will Amazon
make it
Prime.
So Amazon
hey, where
Prime
I have,
is better.
You know, I like, I have them all.
And they'll have some control
every
over the Bond
all
movies.
I have is now, all I have is these different over-the-top things. I mean, I don't have like anything except for my Ulta Beauty. I'm a member of the Rewards Club there. It's the best Rewards Club there is. More than 34 million people in that Rewards Club.
Ulta Beauty.
In the Ulta Beauty, I save a fortune.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Fortune.
All right, let's get over to Bob Pisani now and get more on this market after, of course, a very strong couple of days, Bob.
Yeah, and we can't put together three up days. That's part of the problem. So the there's no trend still. Two down, two up, whatever. Take a look at the sectors. The big winner is energy. But again, even energy, you get two or three down days, and now you get two or three up days. It's very choppy. The same with metals. They tend to move together because they're commodities. They're global commodity stocks. You can't get a run up in China. They're trying to pick a bottom yesterday in the China. They were trying to pick a bottom in ARC yesterday. And you see not working in China and flattish for ARC. So choppy, just up, down, no clear trend developing. Leaders today, hey, there's only one leader. It's energy. And David was mentioning Occidental. There's the leader right there in the S&P. But Devon, Apache, Halliburton, all of them are the leaderboard in the S&P. Not in the Dow or anything like that. The laggards are the airlines and the banks again. Again, no trend here. You can't get a three-day run up in the airlines or in the cruise ships. Key Corp's down. Citigroup is down. But Berkshire is at a new high. David was mentioning that. That's interesting. The only bank that's really actually doing well, the only financials that are doing well here. Meantime, the debate here is about Powell yesterday. A huge food fight developing. People noticing first half hour, while we have a statement and no presser, the emphasis is on, oh, my God, there's more rate hikes than we thought. And then the guidance, the economic guidance, lower growth. And then the presser, first questions he's asked about is, are you going to induce a recession? He says that's not the base case. No. And tries to spend the rest of the time allaying recession risk fears, which is what a lot of stock traders were worried about. They're going to overdo it and induce some kind of dramatic slowdown. Well, the market seemed to take sucker from that. They went up 100 points. As soon as Powell started talking, the market turned around here. So what happens? What's now? Does the rally continue or not? And there's no strong opinions on that. Everybody just throws up their hands and say, I don't know, Bob. It's just, it depends on the inflation picture. Maybe we'll do all right. Maybe we won't. Meantime, life goes on. We have earnings coming, earnings season now, and everybody's trying to second guess this one. The trend has been down, but not dramatically. So S&P earnings now for the first quarter up 6%. It was 7.5%. This isn't a dramatic move to the downside, but there is a split here. Again, another food fight. Nobody can agree on this. There's a bear case and a bull case. So the bear case, you know, on earnings is we're going to have high inflation. We're going to have supply chain disruptions, the tighter curbs on the Fed. Put up the next full screen here, and that's going to curb demand. OK, that's going to curb the earnings. The bull case is, don't worry, Bob. Q1's a problem, but Q2 is going to be fine. Inflation is going to moderate. Demand's going to be strong. We're not going to see big estimate cuts in the second quarter and into the second half of the year. Meantime, on the earnings trend, there's one big, big winner, and that's the energy sector. We're talking more than 200% gains. You guys know this. They are gushing cash. Exxon, Chevron, Conoco, Occidental, they're going to have huge numbers and huge amounts of cash flow. Everything else, though, industrials are up 36%. They're up 36%, but the trend is down, though. It's lower than it was. Consumer staples are also up 1%. But it's in a downtrend. They've been lowering them. And again, they're not down 1.2. They're just lower estimates. Consumer discretionary, same thing. So we got stocks here, like Amazon, Ford, and General Motors, where the trend has been down, guys. And that's what we're going to see. I'll have more on this in the next week or so. But big, big food fight on the direction of earnings. Back to you.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. And, of course, on energy, what I do love about this as well is the interactive nature. I ask about Occidental and those those warrants that Buffett had, and I get an answer right away from our viewers. Bob, so you can keep track. Berkshire warrants are now $83.9 million. Originally, they were $62.50, but now have an adjusted price of $59.62. So very interestingly, Buffett is almost in the money on those $83.9 million in warrants as well.
And he owns 15% of Occidental, right? 14.6 a month.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Bob, thank you.
All right.
Bob Pisani. Before we head to break, let's give you a quick look at the bond market and take a look at how treasuries are faring this morning. Of course, we've been keeping an eye on that 10-2 spread as well, because that has narrowed dramatically in the last year. You can see 10-year 2.17, 2-year 1.939. We're back after this. Perhaps not a surprise given their surge yesterday that today many of these Chinese ADRs are amongst the worst performers on the NASDAQ 100, led by Pinduoduo. There it is, Jim. Too early to buy?
Yes, yeah. It is.
All right. We're back after this.
You know, David, I like to have CEOs who deliver unbelievable numbers. So I have Laura Albert, stock's up $11. Gina Drosso, stock's up $2. The amazing story work of Gina, by the way, in terms of taking over a company that really was a pawnbroker and turning it into a real jewelry company. Laura has done more for Williams-Sonoma, and the bears are going to have to eat crow or whatever bears eat.
Great guests, as usual.
How about the Russian bear? Putin, he seems to have people he's identified he's not crazy about.
Yeah.
Stalin had very Stalin-like.
He is.
Yeah.
He
is. I mean, Lenin, who was a mass murderer, certainly had better things to say.
All right. Jim, I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah?
Not sooner.
Oh, that's so great.
Unless you're not planning on coming in.
So dinner last night was done.
Yes, that was excellent. All right. We got the markets well off the lows. In fact, I'm looking at an S&P that's barely down. You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.